Now we'll turn to House District 28, and first of all, the Democrat, Jody Dominguez. Welcome to running.
Thank you.
This is your first attempt at public office, right?
Yes, it is.
And why? Why did you decide to give it a try?
Well, first of all, I ran for office because I am strongly committed to public service. I've been volunteering and working with the community for, and I was number one volunteer of the year at the Mears Elementary where my daughter was attending school. And I just wanted to take it that one step further. I get tired of actually seeing people get frustrated and angry at politicians, and I wanted to bring new energy and leadership for.
And when you have an opportunity to get out and meet the residents of your district, what do they want to talk about?
Actually, I've gotten a large vast of questions. They've talked about the gas line. They've talked about the roads. A lot of questions about the roads. They just said, this hadn't been fixed in 10 years, and some of them were very even hard to drive on. I've had people say that they weren't even able to jog on particular roads.
Some of your roads, some are city roads and some are state roads, and there's different maintenance regimes, I imagine?
Yes.
So that complicates things and complicates the explanation.
Right.
Okay. Maybe along that line, if you're elected to Juneau and do get to serve, what would then be your first the first bill you would introduce?
Well, like Mia said, as a first-time candidate, I'm not sure if I'll be able to introduce bills, but I do know that my priority...
They're not that mean. They'll let you introduce the bill. You may not get a hearing, but you get a bill.
I do know that my priorities would definitely to, the gas line is a great start that the legislation has conducted in the past, and I would definitely like to, continue that and make sure that both the state and the suppliers and would get a fair trade on the whole ordeal.
You mentioned education earlier, your daughter's school.
Yes. Do
you think the Alaskans are getting their money's worth out of public education? After all, it's the biggest form of spending in the state budget every year, and has been for years.
Well, I do know that when you're giving money to any organization, you would want a plan in place. And I would like to see education funded for all these new projects that we have in store. Everyone's talking about renewable energy. Well, if there was something in place to where maybe there'd be a job placement involved to where there'd be training for those particular projects that we would like to, provide to Alaska. And same with the gas line. If there was something in place to where if you were educated in that field, you would, be promised or at least trained towards a job in Alaska and trained in Alaska, and then we hire Alaska.
Is there anything that the legislature can do to stimulate business? We hear that routinely, that it's something the legislature should do.
I'm sorry?
What can the government do, specifically the legislature, to stimulate business? We're often told that the legislature should do that. Stimulate business, help business, create jobs.
The jobs that I just mentioned, the gas line, the pipeline that we'd want to, make sure that is Alaska Hire First. Also, the renewable energy projects that I've just mentioned. The winterization that we had in the last legislation, I believe, went very well, and I'd like to see that continue.
So. Okay. And for those who are unfamiliar, perhaps you could describe your district.
It's the Bayshore, Clatt, Ocean View, Southport, and Campbell Lake area.
Okay. And final question here. Wanted to ask you about UAA. Is UAA getting its fair share of state spending on the university system as a whole, which is very large?
It is a very large university, and I believe that it's getting well funded. There's other areas that I would like to see, like I was mentioning, with some job training, and then
right.
And so if we were able to put that in place, again, it would benefit Alaska as a whole, and that would be something that I'd like to see happen.
Okay. You have 1 minute for a closing statement, Jody Dominguez, please. 1 minute.
Thank you. And thank you for the opportunity to be here. My name is Jody Dominguez, and I'm running for State House in District 28, which is the Bayshore, Clatt, Ocean View, Southport, and the Campbell Lake area. My decision to run for office was not made in haste. I am strongly committed to public service and all the responsibilities that come with such honor. I am confident that my background, as well as my backbone, would guide me into standing up into protecting your interest in Juneau. I'm a businesswoman with over 20 years experience in the nuts and bolts of sales and management, and you can contact me at Jody for State House, and on election day, I would appreciate your vote. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now let's meet the incumbent, Craig Johnson. Representative Johnson, welcome. And how many terms have you served now?
Two terms.
And if you could tell the voters of your district about what you think some of your accomplishments are, what would you like to mention to them?
Well, I think some of the things that I'm proudest of would be some of my legislation, which protects personal property rights, prohibiting eminent domain from taking recreational property for recreational uses. I'm a very strong personal property rights person. I think my protection of the fishing game through a piece of legislation that I got passed, the Wildlife Violators Compact, which tied Alaska to 30 other states so that if you come up to Alaska and violate the law, we can reach out to those other states and have your license pulled from there and cooperate, and you can actually go to trial in another state if you violate Alaskan law. So those are the things that I think protect the citizens of Alaska and the resources that we have. I think probably as much as proud of anything is the money I got for the GPS systems that go in the fire trucks to shorten the time that of responders. It's a long list, and pride is one of the deadly sins, and I try not to. I kind of have a philosophy that once you introduce it, it's no longer yours, it belongs to the people. And so I've introduced some fine legislation that has gotten passed, but to take credit for it would be probably not quite what I'd like to do at this point.
Let's try something a little bit different then. We have many candidates who come on this show and run against big government. The government's going to get smaller if they're elected. Yet, as we know, this was quite a year for spending in the legislature, and the government is bigger. How does this happen?
Well, it happens, I think, in the way that we do the budget. And instead of having a department come in and say, these are the programs we have and this is what we're doing well and we want to continue with them, it's always, we need more. And my approach to government would be almost a zero-based budgeting, very much like you do in business, where you start out with what you absolutely have to have, the programs that are doing good, the programs that are returning a good investment, and then you, from there you build, and if you want to, if there's money left over, then you might experiment with things and say, we have this project that we think might work, and there's money and we'd like to try it. But you don't do that until you've gotten the basic services, until you've gotten a good return on that investment. And I do look at government spending as an investment. I happen to like the Texas model very well, where they sunset every department every 10 years. I floated this balloon in our caucus, and I think it's something I will be pursuing in the next legislature, so that every 10 years, every department has to come before the legislature and justify their existence. If they can't do that...
I don't think you could do that with corrections, could you?
Well, I think that might be a little easier to defend, but not everything in corrections is defendable. Some, you know, the programs, are we doing the right things? Are we getting return on our investment? So I think we need to approach it from, you can't approach government purely as a business, but you can certainly start with a budgeting process that makes some sense, as opposed to, you know, we're not giving you everything we need, so we're cutting the budget, even though it's $10 million more than it was last year.
Thank you. We have a couple minutes left, so let me ask you, is Governor Palin's AGIA process working? Not working? What can you tell us?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think the jury's still out on that. I did not support giving the sole bid to TransCanada. I did vote for the process. I thought it would, if it got the ball rolling, it would be worth doing. I did not vote to give $500 million to put that up. But I think that the jury's still out. I think we've got an open season that has just closed that is highly conditioned. I think that we are going to be in a position of negotiating, but it won't be the state negotiating, it will be our third-party partner in TransCanada and Exxon that will be negotiating on our behalf. And that's where I think one of the major flaws in AGIA was. It took us out of that capability of doing those negotiations and placed in the hands of third parties, and I'm not sure they're looking out for our interest as well as we could.
Is there a bullet line from the North Slope to the Anchorage vicinity or South Central in our future?
I think so. I have to believe there is. I think that we have to keep all those doors open. I think it has to be a business model that makes sense. There certainly won't be a bullet line unless we get some commercial users.
Would you be willing to have the state invest or become a partial owner?
I'm not certain that I'd be prepared to have the state invest unless I could be shown where we would get return on that investment, similar to a utility, where it's not a gift, where we could possibly provide bonding. We did start an in-state gas line caucus. We brought the railroad, Alaska Housing, some people with expertise in these fields. So if that is the eventuality and that's what it takes to get the tariff down, to provide a dependable source of energy for South Central, then that's something we need to look at. It won't be my first choice.
Okay. We need to go to your closing statement, Representative Johnson. 1 minute, sir.
Thank you. Well, it's been an honor and a privilege to serve South Anchorage for the last 4 years. I'm running for re-election for the same reason I ran for election in the first place. I want to create jobs in Alaska. I got tired of seeing my friends, their kids moving out of state, going away to college and never returning because there was just no opportunity. I'm tired of that and I wanted to stop it. And that's one of the primary reasons I'm running for office again. We must create an economic situation that allows for business and growth and jobs so that we can educate our people, educate our citizens, and keep them in Alaska. Alaska is a state that's rich in resources, but we must be allowed to develop those resources in a reasonable manner. We were granted statehood with a promise that we would be able to develop those resources, but that's a promise that many in Washington forget, and we must constantly remind them of that promise. Alaska is open for business cannot be a slogan for a campaign. It must be something we live and breathe every day. I'm excited about Alaska's future. I think we have a great opportunity. We have a very, very bright future. But if we're not provided the opportunity to develop our resources and develop our people, that light could dim very quickly. My name is Craig Johnson. I'd greatly appreciate your vote.